Welcome to the second half of my interview with Christy Gaynor. She's a good friend of mine and a teacher who will be sharing what it's like to regularly use Kiva planks in the classroom. We'll jump right back into talking with her.
I would say, like, for any teacher, I've told you this before, but having Kiva in the classroom is like the best, like, back pocket thing you can pull out, you know, if when the day is weird or you have to sub for someone or you have to have a sub, like having Kiva, you all have so many ideas on your website too. Mm-hmm. And because I've been using them for so long, I have a lot of those memorized or in the back of my mind, but it is such a great way to keep kids active and engaged in a situation where they might otherwise like be sitting quietly in the study hall. It's like my back pocket, like I'll whip this out. Hey, we need someone to cover this class. I'm like, hey, I'll do Kiva. Teachers know you always need those last minute ideas to have in the classroom.
And your students, your school has had Kiva planks for a long time, so they can kind of grow up. They may be doing them in first grade, and then they're still doing them in fifth grade when they get there. How have you found that to be? Have they, by the time they get older, have they started to get tired of them, or
no.
How does that go?
I've never had a kid say, oh, not Kiva. You know, mm-hmm. I not to my experience.
Okay.
I've never had a kid get tired of them. I mean, I think if you did it all day, every day, yeah, they would get tired of them, but
when they there's when it's so open ended, they're thinking originally as they're doing each thing. So
yeah, and even like I teach honors algebra 2 this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll design coordinate planes, and if I'm teaching them how to find the roots of a quadratic, which is like a parabola graph to where it crosses the axis. You can design with Kiva something with no roots, something with one real root and something with two roots, and they start to get, and then you are introducing them to, you know, complex numbers and imaginary numbers. And so it's not just a like kindergarten, first grade. I'm using it with my 10th grade honors math class just as often as I use it with my 7th grade kind of remedial math class.
And this is exactly why I'm talking to you, because the first part of that, I didn't know what you were talking about. I'm so thankful there's teachers like you that have the in-depth understanding of these topics already. And so you can take all the things you want to know about quadratic equations. That's what you're spending most of your time on. And you're just using Kiva planks for just one sliver of that lesson to make it a little bit more concrete, a little bit playful. But it still becomes an important part of what you do, and making something like quadratic equations that isn't that thrilling for a lot of people, but at least becomes fun and hands-on for a moment while you're making those graphs.
And they tend to remember it better when they have to design a parabola that doesn't touch the axis. You know, with Kiva, they'll remember it. It kind of helps solidify things in their memory.
Yeah, there's a connection when the hands and the body are involved with an activity versus just the eyes and the brain. Can you think of anything else?
So our school ran an elective, an enrichment with a Kiva enrichment class that met, I believe it was once a week for a quarter or a semester, and then we switch around the kids. And so that was... everybody wanted to be in that one, but they couldn't all take it. But just having that, it's a great for like a STEM elective. You can do, I mean, design ramps, and can you make a ramp, you know, the ping pong ball will go down, and then can it have a curve or two curves? And how do you have to change, you know, they've been challenged to build a bridge. And I mean, I have on hand, you know, my math book, right? That's pretty heavy. It's like 7 pounds. So I was like, it has to hold my math book upright. So you have to design your bridge at least a Kiva and a half span or whatever. And so those are longer challenges. So if I do those in math, it takes almost a whole period or a good part of it. And you don't always have time to devote 30 to 45 minutes for a bigger challenge. But running that elective was great. I think we've invited you. You came in and spoke to that elective. They're very impressed that I know you. But anyway, so that, I mean, so we've done things like that as a school, or had one teacher, I think at the elementary school, did like had the gymnasium for a day and they put a line down the middle. It might have been during the Civil War, the history, and like you're the North, this side's the North, mm-hmm. this side's the South, and they had to build things that represented that time period in history. So the North side was building like industry more, and the South had plantations. That took a whole class period, went to a bigger space and used Kiva for that.
Yeah, that's such a great idea. And you could do that with any war, any conflict, any region. So that sounds fantastic. Yeah. Can you think of maybe a particular student without their name or anything, but just a situation where Kiva planks made a difference in a particular student's life?
It's hard to think of like one student, but I feel mm-hmm. like there have been so many students that mm-hmm. once they gain confidence, like they have kind of their aha moment of like, I can do this. Mm-hmm. So I think it happens most recently in my seventh grade class. So my seventh grade class is about 12 students who identify themselves as bad at math. Like they would self-describe themselves as I'm bad at math. And using Kiva and some other strategies, there's one in particular who now claims math as his favorite subject. Mm-hmm. And he has grown tremendously in his ability to work hard on something that he doesn't get. And I remember him having a moment when we were doing the challenge to build as wide as you can with only one Kiva touching the desk. And he was struggling with that. And he kept wanting, if you've ever done that challenge, you know what happens as you go out, they want to drop like, and you really need the weight on the top. But if you only have a limited number of Kiva, so he kept wanting to hold down the top of his thing. It was like, measure it now, measure it now, you know. But he was like, I need more weight. And so the fact that he was realizing like, oh, there's some cantilever going on here. I mean, he didn't use that word, but there's physics happening here.
Right.
He discovered that. And then we looked at even pictures afterwards of bridges and even those old, like the Brooklyn Bridge with the big towers, like why were those towers there? And they started to see like, oh, in bridge construction or balconies or whatever. And he kind of had this, I can do this. And that has transferred to many things. So he was a very reluctant learner. And now this past week with snow and stuff we've had here, our math class didn't meet at all this week, just the way it worked out. Mm-hmm. And he announced to the class how horrible that was, that we couldn't have math.
Wow.
Math is the class. Wow. That's our favorite subject. But a lot of it is that like the confidence building. So he's a student. There are other things that, of course, not just Kiva is contributing to that, but that has been a huge confidence builder for him to be able to have success doing that. But he's definitely one that was starting to see connections between Kiva and other things.
Any other maybe general tips or for someone who has Kiva planks in the classroom, for maybe how you manage them or how you think about them, or just if someone said, I just found some Kiva planks in the back of my room and I'm not sure what to do, what are maybe a few things that you might advise them for how to get started?
Just in terms of management of Kiva, mm-hmm. I have two simple rules when we use Kiva. Mm-hmm. Is mm-hmm. the first one is you may only knock down what you build. Mm-hmm. And the second rule is you cannot throw. You can't throw them. So mm-hmm. other than that, I don't really have rules. But if a kid knocks down something someone else builds, they can no longer play that day. So I try to keep the rules of engagement really simple. And then I would say if you're not familiar, if you haven't used Kiva a lot, I might say start small. Do a small 5-minute challenge as just part of something in your classroom, either to finish the day or just start the day. I know for me personally, I found that when kids walk into a room, if they don't have something they immediately are supposed to do, like establishing routines, that's when you can have behavior issues or kids being unkind to each other because they have this free time that they're trying to fill. And I teach middle school. For me, it's important that they walk in the room and have something to do. So that could be a Kiva thing. You know, as they walk in, you greet them at the door. Hey, grab 20 kiva and build me this. And it just engages them immediately. And then right. once you get everybody there, then you can clean them up and start your class. Mm-hmm. Don't do a huge big thing, maybe your first time, but just start small. Hey, design me something that flies, mm-hmm. something that grows, and or like just small prompts like that I'll give. And then it can get everybody together and then you can put them away and start your day. Or at the end of the class when there's extra time. Explore the website. Like, it is incredible. So many ideas of ways to use them. And I would say, don't be afraid. Like, I teach math, mm-hmm. but like, they'll walk in, I'll say, you know, grab a handful of kiva and design something that grows. Mm-hmm. Well, is that really math? You know, you could argue, oh, that's a science concept, but mm-hmm. it's an activity that gets them thinking. And so I would say, don't be afraid to do something outside your content area when you're working with kiva, because a lot happens when they're exploring.
Right. And I've always been impressed with the way you keep that variety in your room, that you strategically do that sort of thing so that it's not 100% math and numbers while you're mm-hmm. in this classroom. And the brain likes that fluctuation of being able to go from one thing and then back to another.
But there's so many things with kiva that mm-hmm. that I do in my math class someone may argue is not really math. But
right. Well, that's very helpful. Well, these are fantastic ideas, and I think they'd be very helpful for someone if you're listening or watching and have not been sure what to do with your kiva planks. This will give you a great jumpstart on that. And thank you, Christy, for sharing your years of experience and your insight on these. It was interesting hearing some of the things you say that when I'm doing professional development, that I'm realizing the origin of some of the things like your two rules of what you can't do. I adopted those and years ago from you. I think I got them from you. So, but anyway, it's been very, very helpful. And thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Thanks for listening. For more Kiva classroom ideas, check out our website and YouTube page, and I'll see you next time.